Mics are live. I would like to take a moment to thank the band from Mountain Phoenix Community School and their director, Melanie Vigil, on their performance here in the boardroom for the last half an hour. Let's call our study session to order for tonight. We begin tonight with an update on the state outlook, school finance, and potential district expenditures as groundwork for the development of the 2018-2019 budget. At the November 16th Board of Education meeting, we received information on the timeline of development of the 18-19 budget that included budget objectives and assumptions, an outlook on proposed statewide budget assumptions per the governor's budget request, estimated funding update for JEFCO, and the status of pending legislation being monitored, and an overview of our community engagement plan. This presentation will provide an update on the governor's budget request, which was received in January, including proposed assumptions, pending legislation, and funding, and expenditure assumptions that will lay the groundwork for board direction on budget priorities. Dr. Glass, do you have anything to add before we turn to Ms. Askelson?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Glass. So at this time, Ms. Askelson, welcome.
Good evening.
And please begin.
All right. I have Nicole Stewart here with me, my budget director. We just wanted to check in, do some groundwork. We've got a lot of activity going on this time of year, and let you know just where we're at and what's coming. So our first agenda item is our budget timeline. January, February, again, we've got a lot going on. Schools are working on their budgets in Hyperion. Our schools should be filling out the SAC survey that will end up in the DAC for review, and then DAC eventually bringing it to the board for their recommendations for budget thoughts. That survey closes tomorrow, so we're monitoring that, and our assessment team is who will be producing the reports this year for us. We had the December forecast and outlook, so that's already kind of been built into some of our assumptions. Cabinet is working on their recommendations. It's always a lot of work. There's a lot of needs out in the district, so we're looking at that and trying to prioritize. We also, any early advice or direction from the board we're listening to, and then negotiations will start next week, and we'll continue, at least for JCEA, and we'll continue through the months. You can see it noted on the bottom of this chart. In March, we'll be back on the 1st with a lot more specific details around some of this activity. It's planned that the DAC will be coming forward as well as Cabinet at that time to talk about some of the funding priorities that have been identified. So on March 5th, and we just changed this because the meeting schedules have changed a little bit for the board to be March 5th from the 15th, we would like early direction from the board on what we need to build into that proposed budget, because we kind of go dark in April in the finance team to build that big book and bring that back. It's planned to be on the May 3rd meeting that we bring the proposed budget for final adoption on June 7th. So this timeline, you know, we sometimes end up changing it a little bit for legislation, possibly adding more meetings in if more information starts coming, but that's our initial thought is for the May 3rd to be our public and a proposed budget and adoption on June 7th. And again, April is the time we build that budget book, so we usually need direction for that. So again, in February, we know we have school accountability meetings that have been going on and the reports out from that. Cabinet is working on division priorities and negotiations. Again, compensation will be a large topic for negotiations. So kind of this parallel process of three different activities running at the same time that bring forward lots of budget information for you to look at. So just to go back, current assumptions right now. The governor released a revised proposal from his original November 1st, and that revision increased the budget stabilization buy-down. So he had originally proposed $70 million, and now it's at $100 million. So far, that's as much news as we have, still to fund inflation and growth as well. Based on that last estimate, it would increase the amount that Jeffco would receive as the whole district at $30 million, pass through to charters about $3 million. That would leave $27 million in new funding from the state for us to program. So just to remind you of some of the other revenue assumptions we'll be looking at when we bring forward more information for your review. We'll look at a loss of student estimate. We did lose students this year. We're waiting to hear what the enrollment projections are coming out of from Tim Reed and his group, but I anticipate another estimate for loss of students. Not major, probably around the same amount, but we want to see those projections before we land on that. Retirement and turnover savings is another estimate we use that bumps up a little bit of our ability to program additional budget. Last year, at the end of the year, we had about $3.7 million that came in very late from the state. We sent it out to the schools, but as one-time funding. So we'll be bringing that back as part of our revenue assumptions to reprogram. And then we'll look at all our other revenue sources to make sure that we haven't missed anything, that there's something we need to fine-tune, that we can program into our budget. On expenditures, it's too soon to make any decisions. That's the one message I would send out. There's a lot moving around. But we did put some compensation variables out here for us. Our steps, lanes, and quartiles estimates for next year that include benefits, this is across the whole organization, so it's all the associations, would be $14.8 million. A 1% cost of living increase, again, across the whole organization for all groups, would be about $5.6 million, and that includes benefits as well. We also know out there that the state is looking at making changes to PARA. We've heard that news from PARA. Haven't seen any bills drop yet, but that's on our radar, of course, and watching what that might impact. And in part of the governor's proposal was that buy down of the negative factor was tied to paying some of the PARA. And so I've had some clarification on that from over the couple of meetings. School needs, we'll hear from the schools through the SACs what they're trading off to buy for their student populations, what they might need for DUIP support. So we'll be hearing from that. And then division needs. There are division needs out there of some things for compliance, some things for mandates. That's what Cabinet's working on and we'll bring forward. Just other things that are on our radar and we're watching, not sure how it might impact us at this point, the residential assessment rate change that could impact how much local share gets to the state to help for total program. We do see that there is a potential for that to go down further. Federal tax changes are changing the estimates of revenue at the state level. We've heard early on that it could increase the amount of revenue at the state, and now I'm hearing it might be backing off from that estimate. So, again, a lot of unknown on how the state will fare after those changes at the federal level. We also are watching federal grants. They're not increasing for us. And sometimes when, in the past few years, as we've increased our compensation and those grants aren't expanding, we're having trouble continuing to provide services out of those grants at the same level. So those are some of the things we're also monitoring and could be some impacts we bring forward. And then just competing needs at the state. We keep hearing, we're gonna be hearing a lot about transportation this year down at the state. And there, of course, I think we've all been stuck in traffic, so I understand that need, and the state's gonna have to balance all that. So for community engagement, for this cycle, our school accountability committees are meeting. That's some of our engagement and getting their feedback. Community and stakeholder input. Dr. Glass has been doing a lot of community conversations and gathering information as well. Our financial oversight and capital asset advisory committees will also be looking at different aspects of this budget. Financial oversight, more of a broader view, and capital advisory would be more focused on our facility needs. Budget updates and public comment at Board of Education meetings, as well as we've added some community conversations for the budget that'll involve it for March and April, and of course the leadership recommendations. So the message, stay tuned, there's more to come. We'll keep checking in, and we've rescheduled things with the change in the dates. I see another date here we missed. We are looking on March 5th now for budget direction. I believe the March 15th meeting is no longer in existence. So that's why we're we're trying to catch up with that. So I apologize for this being a little bit off. And then again, April to build the budget. So at that point, any questions?
Okay, I have a tendency to cut off you and Ms. Stewart before you're done with the presentations the last two times you've been here, so I'd like to get it right tonight. Are you really ready for the board to ask questions now?
We are.
Okay, board members.
I do have one question. You say you go dark in April, and you have the public input periods for the board in March and April. And my recollection is in the past when we've done these sorts of efforts, it was a little earlier on in the process. I want to make sure that when we go out and talk to the public, that the budget isn't already a fait accompli and that we have time to respond to the input that we do receive.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we usually aren't even done with negotiations at that point either. It's just that being able to produce the document. So sometimes what we've done is just put placeholders per the board's direction of how we might, before we actually decide how to spend additional funds and things like that. So we'll hammer that out as far as how we should put any assumptions for increases in programming. It might be not allocated or not decided yet, but we just have a placeholder in there that to be determined. But we've just got to have that book done in time for you to review. But we can, and then we can
right.
make changes on top of that from the proposed to the adopted. Some of it may have to be just very high level until we produce the document later in July.
Thanks.
You know, I would like to add to that because I'm a little unclear about the community forums that we will be engaging in April. It seems right on track March 5th getting board direction, but I feel like our board direction is contingent on those budget meetings that normally happen in January and February. So. You're wanting direction from us March 5th?
Yes, that's true. And at this point, I wasn't sure that at the budget meetings that we were doing with the community that it would be a questionnaire of how to spend $27 million.
Okay. I'm just trying to be clear.
Like specific like that. It might be more general prioritization, and Dr. Glass might also have some thoughts on the content for those meetings, but it was going to be a fairly high level, not some of what we've done in the online tool where they actually spend the money. We probably wouldn't do an exercise like that again.
Okay, can you outline with me what you're thinking here, because I'd like more clarity.
Sure. It's a high-level budget overview around expectations around revenues and some expenditure variables, much like you heard tonight. To orient the attendees to some of the competing needs the district has and seek feedback around where the attendees believe we should put our dollars. So it is a high-level conversation. It's still early in the process, and you have a number of things happening concomitantly around this, including conversations with the board, negotiations, district priorities, continuing to evaluate the legislature. So there's just a lot of moving parts. This is one element of that to gather feedback from the community around what are we hearing from priorities from people who attend. We have other mechanisms to do that as well, like the District Accountability Committee will provide you recommendations, and that is a set of community members as well. So it's sort of to broaden that and allow a forum where people who aren't necessarily part of the DAC or in one of the other budgeting processes the district has to come and provide feedback.
I would say that over the last couple of years, we've had a variety of different mechanisms to try and gain input. I would say that of all those that we've tried, the most effective was 2 years ago during the forums when we broke people up into groups. We had discrete questions for them to answer and how to prioritize. You know, what should the district be paying attention to? What are priorities 1, 2, and 3? And then the groups came back and shared their answers with that everyone in attendance at that forum. But it was helpful, I think, for us to have heard those conversations. And in those meetings, people had the opportunity to really talk about it with a small group of people. If it's just an audience in an auditorium, you're not going to get that kind of feedback. And I thought that kind of conversation and feedback was very useful, more so than some of the other strategies that we've tried.
We have that designed into what Kathleen and I are working on. So there's some element of presentation to orient people to the variables that we're considering, but also time for people to talk to each other and to talk with us and us to have a dialogue and questions. These sessions are 90 minutes, and that time will vanish, especially when you get in the complexity of...
There are limits to what you can do.
Certainly. Right, right. But I think you're absolutely right. We do need to allow people time to process, think with others, and share with us what their thoughts are, and an opportunity to ask us questions. We know the school finance is complicated. There are lots of elements that people don't know that we pay for as part of a school budget that we need to clarify. But there will be opportunities for people to talk with each other and share with us their thoughts.
Sure. So what do you, the rest of you, do you all think that we've had other tools that have worked well for you or no?
Well, last year when we did the telephone conference things, I thought those were one-way conversations. So I'm with you on the, you know, breaking up into the groups and hearing back and forth dialogue. I had a clear understanding of what the priorities were by the end of that two-hour block. I'm not sure how many meetings are there. I'm not for this forum, these forums, and when are they?
Four.
There's four. In March and April.
In March and April, okay. And how will we be engaged in those? Is your vision that we will get direction from those, or are these
public
for
meetings,
you?
So you're welcome to attend. Kathleen and I will staff them and conduct the meetings, but you're welcome to come and listen, and we'll be gathering feedback through them and can bring that back to you just as an aggregation of the comments and thoughts that we hear as part of this process too.
One other thing that I think has been useful was in those community conversations that have happened in the past, the distinction between one-time dollars and ongoing dollars, because there's a lot of variables about what we can and can't do depending on the predictability of those monies. So that was one thing that I would add to those community conversations. It's helpful for me as a board member to gather community input that recognizes some of those constraints. And I look forward to attending and listening and appreciate that those opportunities are going to happen. And I think it'll be really imperative that we go into the March 5th meeting with a sense of kind of outlining values and priorities and recognizing that there may be some flux after those community input opportunities. Can I ask a question about the assumptions that we're using right now? Because I feel like we have two pieces that are in play right now that we won't really know much and as the legislative conversation moves forward. The governor's most recent assumptions ask for a larger buy down of the negative factor. Maybe not yet as large as we'd like to see, but less awful, right? So in the mode of less awful. How much of that is incorporating any of the assumptions from the 2017-18 property tax realization that was not expected, the 100 plus? Should we assume any of that is part of the one-time dollars, and can we expect JBC to come with, I've heard everything from 100 million-ish coming back to schools to all the money going into the ed fund to a $7 million deduction in our budget. So do we know where that part of the conversation is moving into next year's budget?
We were at a meeting yesterday, and the last information we had was that what we're referring to is the 17-18, the current year we're in, the state had a bit of a windfall from school districts' local share going up because of property tax valuations. So the state appropriation, they don't need to spend as much to meet the target of total program now. So they have a choice to either keep it in schools or pull it back. The message we heard yesterday was of that 110 million, possibly 13 million would be left for school districts and the rest pulled back. So
back to not the state budget, back into the ed fund?
I'm not sure exactly where it's going to land yet. I think there has been a proposal for it to go
million,
in the state.
So of the 110 schools might get to see 13 million of that.
Correct. And
spread
that
across
would,
the state. That's
that would push. That would translate as pushing down the current year negative factor, and then we would consider that basically ongoing because they have to keep the negative factor flat, the state, unless they override that with legislation. So. You know, they could, if they didn't want to keep it flat, they could shave down the 100 million and it would work out the same versus, you know.
Have they indicated where they'll be sending those dollars in the 2017-18 budget?
No, I haven't heard that. Or I've heard possibly the education fund, but I don't believe it's been decided yet. Right. I think it is one of the first things they will act on. So
thank you so much for staying connected to those conversations. I sure wish the news were a little bit better.
Yes.
I guess because it's really early in the process, the one thing I want to be mindful of, maybe together, is that we function with that $100 million BS factor decrease, that we make plans for recognizing what would it be like if that number were $150 million or $50 million, because I just cannot predict where that will land. And I want to be able to invest in the kinds of long-term work that benefits students, and knowing that in out years we face more challenges to that, I want us to be prepared for multiple wonderful and heartbreaking possibilities.
It's tough. This time of year is tough, and trying to manage all the dates and news that's coming from the state. Probably won't hear a whole lot until the March forecast, and then they were very late last year in finishing the School Finance Act, so I'm hoping that it's earlier, but we did, I think, end up having to add a meeting, and again, that's mm-hmm. when we had the additional funds came through and a last-minute decision on that. So we can react to that, but it's a little difficult sometimes on the timing.
Thank you.
On here. In terms of process, in response to your question about our thoughts on that, I agree with you. And in terms of process and engagement, to me as a board member, the meetings where we were, I'm sure it'll show up on our calendars, but we then can collectively figure out who can go to which ones, because obviously we can't be at all of them. As eyes and ears in working with those groups of people and listening. And then there was also forms that were filled out, and that was then transcribed for us. And I know that that was a little bit of a challenge, but I just want to echo the value in having that shared with all of us as board members, knowing that we can't get to all of those meetings. That was the other piece of that process in terms of note collecting from the thought process in those groups was also valuable.
Yes, I think Diana has been considering how to gather that information and efficiently, possibly some kind of central Google Doc or something like that.
Yeah, and I think 2 years ago there were 10 meetings. Okay. I think there's 4 this year.
Okay.
So, Brad, did you want to dialogue more about what we as a board?
I wanted for us to be able to communicate to the staff exactly what we found useful and what we have found less useful over the last 2 years. We've now done this a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of having these community engagement opportunities is to gather information so that we can make right decisions on behalf of our taxpayers and voters. And so this is our chance to say, this is what we would like to see because this is what we find useful. That's why I asked the question.
Okay. And so I agree with you about 2 years ago. This format, and I mean, the more the better. And I agree, we can get information from CAAC, the SACs, your community engagement, budget updates from you, and district leadership recommendations. But our board, our job is to be the eyes and ears and voice for our community. So whatever, whenever you can get us out in front of the community to ask those 4 critical questions, if that's what you're thinking, I don't know what you're thinking those 4 meetings are going to look like, that would be great. Because for me, more information means that I can represent what I feel like they want better, what the priorities are.
I do have just one last question that I'll be wondering about as well, is we're going to later tonight look at the strategic plan, and I'm just wondering if there are budget implications for executing that.
Yes, there are, and it's part of this discussion. So the budgeting process is to look at what are the assumptions around revenues, what fixed expenses do we have, things that we have to pay for that are increasing, and that those things come off the top. And then you look at what do you do with compensation, because how many people you have and how much you pay them are your 2 biggest variables. We make some assumptions around that, and then there's usually a tiny bit left. and that's what you do to move forward your strategic elements. So through the negotiation process, we'll figure out what we think we can do for our employees. We certainly have an interest in raising the pay compensation levels for our employees and taking care of them. We honor them and appreciate the work that they do, but we could easily spend all of it on that. So that'll be the tension that we go through as a board, is what do we put into compensation, what do we put into staffing, and then what have we got for strategic initiatives.
And I will remind us that the last 2 years we put quite an emphasis on catching back up on compensation. That was our directive early, 2 years ago. That was really clear. And so I think we've kept faith with that. But we've been doing that, frankly, at the expense of addressing a lot of facility needs. So yes, it's absolutely important to continue to remain competitive and compensate the people that are actually getting the work done. It's also really important that the buildings that they're doing that work in remain safe and functional. And so we can't lose sight that we've been kicking that can down the road every year. And at some point, we need to start addressing those needs.
I have a couple of things. First is a question. A year ago, when we allocated our one-time monies to the schools, I think is what memory tells me we did, Ms. Askelson, and I'm wondering if we did that through the SBB process. Is that the way we did it? Is my memory correct?
We did, and we notified the schools. It was about $50 per student, and it was put into their budgets after the beginning of the year. So they were very clear that it was one time, that they shouldn't use it to buy a staff that they wanted to continue.
And we might therefore have, if I was paying attention, we might have an opportunity to consider doing that again.
That is at the board's discretion. That funding, because we communicated it was one time, we will be bringing that back for further discussion on how to repurpose that.
So we'll have an opportunity to at least consider that option.
Absolutely.
Then I just had this thought as I was listening to you. In terms of the state budget picture and the timing when finally we can get accurate, hard data to actually create our budgets. Wouldn't it be pretty spectacular if we had consistent funding for education in the state of Colorado and we could plan ahead and actually, do it a budget ahead of time someday? That's a message for our state legislature, not necessarily for you.
I agree.
But I figured you'd probably agree that a little consistent funding for K-12 education in the state of Colorado would be a great thing.
That would be a great thing.
Yeah.
Sort of like what Amendment 23 was designed to produce.
Wasn't it, though?
No figure.
And, Amendment 23 has always been really clear to me, Mr. Rupert. I understand it. I think that the people seated before us could calculate our budget in a New York minute if we were funding
it. And forecast it out a little longer based on some assumptions.
Okay. And then I have one other observation that I want to share, because we've had some discussion about input to the board regarding budget considerations. It's an important conversation. I want you to know that one of the things I really appreciate is when our school groups weigh in on this. So when I get recommendations from our DAC committee, I value those, because I believe that those individuals who are community leaders and active citizens have had an opportunity to understand the complexity of the issues that we face. And so, for the Financial Oversight Committee and the Capital Reserve Committee and our accountability committees to weigh in with advice for the board is very meaningful to me, and I certainly want to make sure we continue to do that. Are there other comments or questions from the board?
When can we expect, you had said the SAC survey will close tomorrow, and I realize those are priorities conversations and advisory conversations, but it can give us a sense for the felt needs in our schools. When can we expect to maybe get our eyes on that? Will that come March 1st as well?
March 5th, I think, is the date that we'll be bringing
that.
Yeah, the dates are
If you happen to get it sooner and send it our way in a weekly
March
update
1st.
Just to get our eyes on it,
yeah,
that'd be awesome.
The report will go to the budget subcommittee of the DAC, and then they will take it to DAC, and then it'll come to the board. But yeah, I'm sorry, it is March 1st is when we plan on coming.
Okay, I think that concludes our questions and observations. I would like to say thank you, Ms. Askelson.
Thanks.
You, Ms. Stewart, for being here with us. We look forward to the next steps with you as we work to develop the budget for next school year. I had planned to take a short break here. It may be a longer one because our actual regular board meeting is scheduled to start at 6 p.m., and I'm not sure it's a good idea to start that early.
I'm going to go get dinner.
So for those of you who are with us right now, I apologize, but I think we probably should not start a meeting that we have scheduled for 6 o'clock much before 6 o'clock. So we will return to the board table by 6 o'clock, maybe a couple of minutes early, and we will get started on our regular meeting for this evening. Thanks for your patience.